The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Wednesday? It's Wednesday already? I like four-day work weeks. Gorgeous afternoon. Lots of news flying at us from all kinds of different directions. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Update.
Let me once again give you an example of just how absolutely out of control things are with our judicial system here in King County and beyond. Because now we're hearing from a victim who lost his best friend in a Pioneer Square attack a couple of nights ago. And we told you the story yesterday, but I want to give credit to Q13 News, which got an exclusive interview with the victim of this attack. But if you weren't listening yesterday, if you're not familiar with the story, there's a 67-year-old man who lives in public housing down near Pioneer Square. It's an old hotel that has been converted to public housing. And this guy, 67, no family, financially destitute. He had one thing in his life that he cared about, that he loved, that kept him going, that got him out of bed in the morning. And that was his 14-year-old Jack Russell Terrier named Alice. And so over the weekend, John Hickey was walking Alice in Pioneer Square. He wasn't physically all right either. He was in an orthopedic walking boot on one foot because of problems that he had had. So as he's walking Alice, a 29-year-old guy who's a known repeat offender in Pioneer Square came up and demanded that John give him his jacket, John's jacket. And John doesn't have anything. He can't afford to give away a jacket. And he told the guy no. The guy got more confrontational. So John, knowing how mean the streets of Pioneer Square are these days, he carried pepper spray with him as he took Alice for a walk. And he fired the pepper spray in the face of the 29-year-old man. And the guy backed off and looked like he was starting to run away. And John tried to go as fast as he could with Alice. Well, as fast as you can go when you're wearing an orthopedic walking boot. And that's not that fast. And then all of a sudden, the 29-year-old guy came up from behind and kicked Alice so hard she went flying through the air, landed on her head, and died in John Hickey's arms. I told you all of this yesterday, but the story becomes so much more powerful when you hear from the victim. And as I said, Q13 News, they talked exclusively with John Hickey, and he told all of us about his best friend, Alice.
She would cuddle up and wrap her arms around my neck. She's all I have, and I'm not complaining that that was all I had. I mean, she was all I needed.
How heartbreaking is that? She was all I had, but I'm not complaining about that. She's all I needed. He loved Alice. And any of us who are pet owners, we know about that bond. We know about that deep love. And he talked about how this man threatened him.
And then he started telling me he was going to knock my head off if I didn't give him the jacket.
And so that's when John pepper sprayed the suspect in this case.
I heard pounding of feet, and I turned around, and he was running full speed at us. And I didn't have time to really do anything. I mean, I had her on the leash, and in running towards her, he knocked me down, and he kicked her so hard that she went up in the air and fell down on her head and started hemorrhaging.
And then John described the final moments with his beloved friend.
She thought everybody liked her, and she was just proud of that. And the most horrible thing, when she died, she gave me a look that just was like she was so confused that anyone would do something like that to her.
It's a good question. How can a madman do something like that to an innocent little animal? And after he got shoved down, John was in a wheelchair when he talked to Q13, but he said the physical injuries are not the greatest pain.
She was all my family. She was. I mean, she got me through days when I literally don't think I had gotten up in the morning, except I knew she needed me. And she knew that I needed her.
So the King, they quickly found the suspect. Police knew who it was because this guy has committed so many crimes and so much mayhem on the streets of Pioneer Square. And so they found the guy. They arrested him on Sunday night. And then on Monday, he appeared before a judge. And as I said yesterday, I've been critical of the King County Prosecutor's Office at times, but I will also give them great credit when they are fighting for, you know, righteousness. And to their credit, the King County Prosecuting Attorney's Office asked a judge to hold this homeless suspect on $25,000 bail. And Casey McNerthney from the Prosecutor's Office told Q13 that they were deeply disappointed that the judge would not keep this guy on bail.
We want people to know that even though a judge released this person, we're not going to ignore this case. When this case comes to us for a charging decision in the prosecutor's office, we'll handle it right away. And you know, we're equally as disturbed as the people who read these details. I mean, to have this kind of abuse against an animal and to know that it's happening at a time when there's a rise in animal cruelty cases, it's really sickening.
It is sickening. And I wanted once again to let you know about this judge, because we do have judges who are a contributing and gigantic factor in all the crime, in all of the damages that are done throughout our region, both to property and to people and to animals. Judge Marcus Naylor was behind the bench when the dog kicker appeared before him on Monday. The prosecutor's office said, they begged the judge, you got to keep this guy locked up. If he's capable of just randomly shoving a 67-year-old guy in a walking boot to the ground, if he's capable of kicking a dog so the dog flies through the air and lands on its head, if you let him go, what is he going to do later today? What is he going to do tomorrow? Don't we have to keep the public safe from maniacs like this? No, Judge Marcus Naylor is a defender of the criminals, even though he's a judge and he's supposed to sit impartially on the bench. But as I told you yesterday, Judge Marcus Naylor, he was a defense attorney. He worked for criminals. In his bio, he brags that he participated in more than 100 misdemeanor and felony jury trials, ranging from DUI to homicide. He worked his whole career. Certainly, it's righteous to get the innocent freed from charges against them. But I'm guessing a few, maybe many, maybe most of those 100 jury trial cases, he was defending somebody that he knew was guilty, which is what defense attorneys do. I mean, you have to provide a zealous defense. But then he becomes a judge. And this is after he was the head of the Defense Attorneys Association. And this is a radical association that has been working to get as many criminals free as possible. And you want to know why we have the worst property crime in the United States? You want to know why we have so many parts of downtown where it is simply not safe for us to enter? It's because of the number of criminals on the streets. And so the 29-year-old, who has not yet been formally charged, they're going to round him up and bring him back in, if they can catch him. I mean, if this guy ends up getting on a bus and going to Nashville, Tennessee, we'll never see him again. And he won't pay any penalty for killing this dog because judge released him on no bail. So we will certainly remember the name of Judge Marcus Naylor. I think that I told you yesterday, I found out something during the show yesterday that the owners of Jack Russell Terriers, they're a passionate group of people. I got a lot of text messages, and I know that they have, you know, Facebook groups and local JRT organizations, and I found out a lot from all the texts that I got during yesterday's show. And I would suggest that you contact Judge Marcus Naylor, N-A-Y-L-O-R. He's a King County District Court judge. And let him know what you think about turning loose on personal recognizance somebody who's capable of kicking a dog so hard it flew through the air, landed on her head, and died on the streets of Pioneer Square. You should let Judge Marcus Naylor, let your feelings be heard about this. And my goodness, God bless this man who lost his dog. And if you are a person of prayer, say a prayer for John Hickey, who lost his best friend. He said he has no family. He has no money. He had many days where he had nothing to get out of bed for, except Alice needed a walk. Now what? Say a prayer for John Hickey, the victim, twice. Victim of the maniac who killed his dog and the victim of a King County District Court judge, Marcus Naylor, who would rather free a criminal than dispense proper justice. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Bizarro World.
Yeah, it is Bizarro World because speaking of letting people out on personal recognizance, it has been a mania the last couple of years to get no bail. We've had people chanting in the streets, no jail, no bail. They want all criminals released with no bail. And eventually they want to abolish all jails. Murders, rapists, set them free. Because they say it's a racist system. And the only way to fix a racist system that they talk about is by just ending the system. And so you've heard the chants of no bail reverberating off the buildings of downtown Seattle as the marchers went through. I find this really interesting because yesterday we had an exclusive interview with a guy named Josh Harris. He is the guy who bailed out three Tacoma police officers, two accused of murder, one of manslaughter, in the death of Manny Ellis. And he told me why he spent, this is a businessman, didn't personally know these cops. He just said he wanted them out because they'd all served in the Army very nobly, and he wanted them out and with their wives and with their little children for Memorial Day weekend.
You know, I'm a concerned citizen, for one, a concerned business owner as well. I've grown up here in Pierce County, Tacoma, all my life. This agenda that's, sorry, but it's been fueled by the media to this small group of people that want to abolish the police department and defund the police department. I don't think have any idea what the ramifications of that would look like.
But they also want to abolish the courts and the jails and the bail system. And I want to just show you the absolute hypocrisy and the tyranny that they would like to impose on all of us. Because as Antifa walks down the street chanting, no bail, no bail, when Josh bailed out three Tacoma police officers, Antifa sent out a flyer with Josh's picture, the name of the construction company that he owns, the address of the construction company, presumably if somebody wanted to go over and do damage, the phone number of the construction company. And then they said, and if you want to tell this guy directly what an evil person he is to support murderers. Here's his personal cell phone number. That's not just irony. That is sheer hypocrisy. And I want to make sure you understand the nature of this threat. Because Antifa has been marching, demanding no jail, no bail. But then they call for doxing, intimidating, harassing a man who bailed cops out of jail. So it's not they don't want bail in jail. They only want some people to be locked up. And police officers apparently are at the top of the list. And that's why I say, as we get more and more of these Marxists in the Seattle City Council and in our state legislature, as we get more and more of that, understand what the agenda is. It is not going to be about justice. It is not going to be about treating people equitably, fairly, giving them equal protection under the law. They will work feverishly to lock up the people that they don't like, and they will work feverishly to keep free the criminals who commit vile crimes as long as they think like the people in charge. And that's why I want to make sure that I'm warning everybody of just how dangerous, how perilous these times are when you have this coalition of street domestic terrorists, protesters, and then you combine that with judges who are on their side, and then you have groups. I know, Joe Biden says Antifa's just an idea. Yeah, that's right, Joe. Another great analysis by our president. But understand the hypocrisy, because this will not end well if they continue. And it's happening already in Seattle, in Tacoma, throughout the Puget Sound area, that people are not getting treated fairly. You're getting treated according to how woke you are. Then you're given freedom. If you don't think like them, we'll try to lock you up. And that is your Big Lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
All right, we've got a lot more to do here on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon, including... Oh, I like this one. How would you like, if you're tired of all the left-wing craziness around here, how would you like to move to Idaho, but you wouldn't have to pack a box or get a moving van? Idaho will come to you. We'll take over your county. I'll tell you, we'll talk to a guy who's trying to do just that for his Eastern Oregon region. Could it happen here in Washington? It's coming up next on the Dory Monson Show. Well, for decades now, we've heard about plans to split our state in half. They would call Eastern Washington Cascadia. And frankly, that will never happen, because adding an extra state would mean adding two conservative senators to the Senate from Eastern Washington, and states would never approve of that. Down in Oregon, there is a much more clever idea going on, where the more conservative part of the state, and by the way, the liberal part of Oregon has gone completely off the deep end, just like Western Washington. But Eastern Oregon, they want to not form a new state, but join Idaho. It's called the Greater Idaho Movement, and one of the people behind it is Mike McCarter. He joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Mike, it's good to talk to you, sir.
It's good to talk to you, and thanks for having us on in a wonderful morning in the Northwest.
Yes, it's super. Is. All right, so everything in my setup is essentially true, that adding another state would be a virtual impossibility, but you think just having Idaho annex Eastern Oregon is something that really could happen?
Oh, you're absolutely right there. You know, even our particular process here, people look at it and think, well, that can never happen. But, you know, we look at it in such a way that our traditional values are being trumped on out of our Oregon legislature. Rural Oregon is ignored for the most part. Mm-hmm. It is a playground for northwestern Oregon. And the people are speaking out county by county, saying, yes, we want to start looking into the possibility of readjusting the border, not creating a new state, just move the border, because border lines are not cast in stone. They're arbitrary. They can be negotiated. They can be moved. They have been and whatnot. And that's our proposal, is to say, okay, what would it look like if we moved the border to the east side of the Cascades?
I'm sure that you have researched this. I know that the last time a state border was adjusted was back in the 1800s. What do you have to do? I mean, who do you have to get voting approval from? Is it just the two state legislatures, or do the feds get involved?
Well, you know, it has happened recently. 1958, the border line adjusted between Oregon and Washington along the Columbia River.
That was a tiny adjustment, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. North Dakota and Minnesota made an adjustment in this century. So it has happened. It does require an agreement between the Oregon legislature and the Idaho legislature. They kind of come up with a compact, an agreement, and how this would take place. And then that goes back to the U.S. Congress for approval. But like you mentioned earlier, because we're not adding any new senators, especially conservative senators, we're just changing the borderline. We see no reason why U.S. Congress would not approve that.
Okay, and the question pops to mind is, why do you want to do this? I'm guessing I know the answer, because I know how frustrated Eastern Washington is when they feel they have absolutely no say in state politics. It's very liberal legislature down in Olympia, and Seattle voters overwhelm every vote that might be cast in Eastern Washington. Is that what this is about, that you just feel you have no representation in Salem?
Well, we don't have any representation in Salem, just like you do in Washington with Eastern Washington. But we this is not necessarily a political situation. This is a value situation. This is urban values versus rural values. And the rural values that we have are, you know, faith, family, freedom, independence. You know, we're tied to our land. We're tied to our communities in rural Oregon, our schools. And we don't want to pick up and move. But if we have the right to elect those who represent us, do we have the right to elect who governs us? You know, whether it's Idaho or mm-hmm. Oregon. So it's not just saying, okay, we're going to secede from Oregon and we're going to try to go it on our own. No, we're just shifting the governance, because rural Idaho and Idahoans per se match up very well with our values in rural Oregon. And okay, that's the movement.
Okay, so I know that all my listeners are wondering, take us with you. Why don't you take Eastern Washington? I used to have a place on the Columbia River, on the east side of the Columbia River. So if you annexed Eastern Washington from the Idaho and Oregon border over to the Columbia River, you could take us with you. Why don't you do that too? Come on, Mike. Well, we need a lifer in here.
I have an awful lot of friends in the Willamette Valley around Portland and Salem, and they're saying the same thing. How can we get involved in it? Well, you know, at some place you got to draw the line. And we've projected our border along the Deschutes River and all the way over to the southern Oregon coast. So Idaho would no longer be a landlocked state anymore. It would have a deep water port in Coos Bay. And we have to focus on that initial movement before we talk about anything else in Southeast Washington or Northern California or whatever. This is a movement for rural Oregon to become part of Idaho.
Okay. And I was also looking at your website, and this is hard for me to imagine, but you said Eastern Washington isn't conservative enough for your newly drawn state. Is that right?
Well, when you look at the conservative matchup over the last two presidential elections, when you're looking at, you know, the Spokane area and up there and that, it tends to be a little less conservative than Idaho. Idaho's fear of the people are fearing the fact that more people are going to attach themselves to Idaho and then start changing the values and changing the vote there and so on. And we're not. We just want to come alongside them and say, hey, Idaho, adopt us, please. Okay. And, you know, from that point on.
Two more questions just pop into my mind as we're speaking here. You said you would be Eastern Oregon and then Southwestern Oregon to the ocean. Why would the Oregon legislature vote to give up a deep water port at Coos Bay? And how would the Idaho legislature be able to fund highway improvements in all of Eastern and Southwestern Oregon? I mean, that's another big take on without a lot of new tax dollars coming in. So what about those two things?
Yeah, good questions. Southwest Oregon, down on the coast, down there. Portland, the Port of Portland is not being utilized enough as it is. So why are they concerned about the port in Coos Bay with it? And, you know, just let it be and let them concentrate on trying to get, you know, as much freight and whatnot going through the Port of Portland. But Northwest Oregon subsidizes rural Oregon. And you just mentioned, why would Idaho want to pick up this debt load, you know, roads, schools, prisons, right, stuff like that? Our counties, income-wise, match up very close with the counties of Idaho. Idaho funds their counties, their schools, their systems, their roads differently than Oregon does. Of course, they have a sales tax there. You guys have a sales tax up your way. Right. And Oregon supposedly doesn't have one, but we know that they bury it through the corporate system and we're paying it anyway.
No, it's so, embedded. I mean, you know, and I also know Idaho's in the bottom 10 of overall taxes too. So that's,
right,
that's one that's easy to overcome. Well, Mike, well, I love rebels, man.
Yeah.
I love people who look at creative ways. My last question, if you ever were to make this happen, could you find some room for my wife and me somewhere in your new state?
Yeah, you know, the combination of rural Oregon and Idaho would make Idaho the third largest state in the union behind Alaska and Texas. There's plenty of room. Come on down. There's not, you know, there's not a lot of people down in the Idaho area, you know. So 860,000 Oregonians would become Idahoans without one single person moving into the existing Idaho.
All right. Okay.
So come on
I'll
down.
I'll make it 860,000 and two then after all said and done.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Like you said, I love rebels. I love people who don't just get frustrated with how things are, but try to make things happen. So well done with the movement, Mike.
Thank you. Hey, folks, you got questions, go to greateridaho.org. That's got a ton of information there.
.org. Yep. That's where I went to research before I talked with you.
Yep.
All right,
yep.
Mike McCarter, Greater Idaho. Mike, great talking with you. Thanks, sir.
Hey, thanks for having us on, and get a hold of us at any time.
Absolutely. Okay, we'll stay in touch.
Okay.
All right,
okay,
go to greateridaho.org if you want to know more. And, if I could get my old Columbia River place back and if they would ever take on some of Eastern Washington. All right, what do you think about all this? You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. Lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. Respond to a few of the text messages regarding the big lead, because people say, come on, Dory, the no bail movement is only for nonviolent offenders. Why don't you tell the whole story? I love debating the radical left because they're so easy to defeat. Are you kidding me? Do you really think that that's what it's all about? That that's all that it's about is nonviolent people? Have you ever heard of the Minneapolis Freedom Fund that Vice President Kamala Harris donated to? And, Hollywood celebrities Steve Carell, Cynthia Nixon, Seth Rogen, they all sent money to the Minnesota Freedom Fund. Who did they bail out? Well, they paid 75,000 cash to bail out a man charged with attempted murder, accused of shooting at police with a modified illegal gun that the left usually seems to hate, but they will bail out somebody if they're shooting at cops with it. They paid $100,000 for the release of a woman charged with second-degree murder. Same charge these cops face. They bailed out convicted criminals who had been convicted of violent crimes. Bailed out a twice-convicted rapist who was charged with kidnapping, assault, and sexual assault. They bailed out that person. So stop with the hypocrisy and stop trying to defend these fantastic points that I'm making here, stop trying to refute them. Because whatever nonsense you throw at me, I have facts and logic to refute what you're saying. The reality is the radical left has bailed out people standing trial for murder, rapists, convicted killers. So stop with all this nonsense. You love that. You love it when somebody who is burning down buildings gets bailed out for murder. But, oh, you hate it when police officers get bailed out. Bunch of stinking hypocrites. But all I can say is nice try. Also, this is a crazy story. On a college campus, there was in Connecticut, they had a construction crane. And construction cranes have steel cables with a loop at the end of the cable, and the loop is that they can quickly attach it to things and the crane can haul things up. Well, somebody thought that the steel cable, and if you Google image crane steel cables, you'll see pictures of what these loops look like on a much smaller scale. There are some many cable bike chain, not chains, but steel cable bicycle locks that have a loop at either end that you can put your padlock through. So that's what it is. But somebody thought it looked like a noose. Listen to the insanity as they, the local station covered this absolute nonsense.
Good morning, Ashley. That rope in question still hanging from a construction site here at the university. University officials tell me they've been monitoring this situation overnight. Right now,
she calls it a rope. It's a steel cable. But a rope makes it sound more like a noose. And university officials monitored the situation overnight? What did they do, sit around and look at a steel cable all night long?
Joined here by the vice president, the interim vice president for student affairs, John Tully. We're going to speak with him in just a minute about the discovery of this rope and then also where they're...
Again, it's not a rope, but media has to say that to make it sound like a noose, which is what the crazy people were thinking.
Moving going forward. So let's go ahead and check in with him now. Thank you for joining us this morning. Just want to start off by asking you, what is your initial response to hearing the concern about this rope on campus?
Okay, he said rope again. And the poor guy, what he should say is, well, anybody who thinks that looks like a noose is insane, and we couldn't care less about their complaints, but he's a university official, so he has to say a bunch of nonsense that he doesn't believe.
Well, first of all, it's not a rope. It's part of the steel cable, which is part of the crane operation that we use, that is being used to create the parking structure.
Okay, so end of story, right? It's not a rope. It's a steel cable. So, story over. Now, the guy's got to now do his woke thing since he's a university administrator.
Even so, the perception of its noose-like appearance is concerning. We were speaking to people last night who certainly felt some pain. We feel that pain. Our president has issued a statement expressing her concern about this, and we're working diligently to get it down.
Nobody feels paid over that.
Yeah, a lot of people we spoke with last night feeling that this resembles a noose. So tell me a little bit.
Oh, man. We're really going to let this radical left continue to get more control of our lives? Seriously? Past 15 is coming up next.